We continue our study today in John 6, verses 60 through 70. Yesterday, we looked at the fact that not everyone can handle the truth. Sometimes the truth is tough. Sometimes the truth makes demands upon our lives. Sometimes the truth is brutal and seems unfeeling. But the truth is always true. It is always right, and it is always perfect. Another insight in this passage that needs to be addressed is this. Simply stated, regardless of what we may think, we are hiding nothing from the gaze of the Lord. Hebrews 4:13 tells us, "And there is no creature hidden from his sight, but all things are naked and open to the eyes of him to whom we must give an account." That, brothers and sisters, is the truth. In the passage before us, we see the truth that why the multitudes were following him. In verses 26 and 27, we read of that same chapter. Jesus answered them and said, "Most assuredly, I say to you, you seek me, not because you saw the signs, but because you ate of the loaves and were filled. Do not labor for the food which perishes, but for the food which endures to everlasting life, which the Son of Man will give you, because God the Father has set his seal on him. You ate of the loaves and were filled." That was the reason why that the people in our text were following Christ. Christ knows the deepest secrets of the hearts of us. He knew the secrets of the hearts of those who appeared to be the most committed to him. Look at verse 64. In chapter 6, John 6, 64, we read, "But there are some of you who do not believe. For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were who did not believe and who would betray him." For Christ, brothers and sisters, he knows all things. When the Lord looks into your life, what does he see? Does he see absolute commitment and faith? Or does he see a life that wants the experience, like many today, want the experience but lack the commitment? The harsh truth is that he sees you and me just like we are. He sees us in ways that we cannot even see ourselves. Nothing and no one is hidden from his all-seeing gaze today. Not Zacchaeus in that tree. Not Peter by the fire, the Roman fire. Not even the hearts of the hypocritical Pharisees. Not even Judas Iscariot, who was numbered with the 12. Even Judas had deceived the 11 other disciples. They did not know that he was a fake, but the Lord knew he was a fake. He spoke of Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon, for it was he who would betray him, being one of the 12. The Lord knows us. He sees us. His gaze is set upon us. My friends, you and I live in glass houses today. We cannot see into, I cannot see into your heart, and you cannot see into mine. But God sees us just as we are. What does he see when he looks at you? Friends, we may deceive each other, but we will never deceive God. He knows where you stand spiritually today. There has never been a better incentive for us to look carefully at our own lives, do not be deceived, the scripture says. I had a conversation with a man who was attempting to hide his lack of commitment behind the smokescreen of excuses. The bottom line is this: say what you will, but there are some people who do not want to serve the Lord. They do not want to be committed to his will or his work. But at the same time, they want the benefits. They want the experience. They want the benefits that they can derive from being part of the church and being around God's people. These people may deceive us, but they will never deceive the Lord. He sees through the excuses and the smoke screens and the lies that people attempt to hide behind. He knows what lies within their hearts, and he will hold them accountable for that. Our Lord will not be mocked. Realize this, brothers and sisters, and you, my friend, if you not be a child of God. Realize this. Look at verses 67 through 69. We read, "Then Jesus said to the 12, 'Do you also want to go away?' But Simon Peter answered him, 'Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. Also, we have come to believe. We have come to believe and know that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God.'" We know it. We know it experientially and by faith. We live that out. We live our faith out moment by moment, because genuine faith cannot walk away. You may make a detour along this journey, but you will always return. And after you return, you would have learned the lesson. For many, during their journey, walk away for a season, but they wind up being chastised and they wind up returning. The true disciple cannot walk away forever. For a time, for a season, yes. To learn a lesson, for the Lord to deal with sin in your life, yes. But genuine faith cannot walk away. When the disciples are asked by Jesus if they too will leave him, Peter answers for the group. He expresses their total commitment and states the fact that they know Jesus is the Christ, the Messiah, the Lord, the Son of God, and is the way to eternal life. There's no other way. There's no other way. There's only one way to the Father, and that is through the Son. Peter had taken a step that many in his day had not or could not take. Peter had made the necessary connection between the words of Jesus Christ and Jesus himself. Christ himself. To receive Christ is to receive his word and his person. To receive his word is to receive him. They are always taken together. It is not enough to give mental assent. It is not enough to give mental assent. For with the heart man believeth, and with the mouth confesseth, that Christ is Lord. Peter had placed his faith in Jesus Christ and in his word. Peter was made a partaker of two great possessions. These two possessions allowed Peter to make an absolute commitment of his life to the Lord Jesus Christ. And those two possessions are, first of all, faith. The text says, we believe. We believe. An inward conviction that Jesus Christ is who he claims to be. And the second thing that Peter possessed was experience. It said in the text, and are sure. And are sure. Also, we have come to believe and know that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. We know it. You know it by experience. There's a changed life. The old has passed away. Behold, all things have become new. A changed heart, a new life, a changed life, a new desire. Your desires are different now. Your desires now are for Christ. Other desires keep on popping up during this journey, but them desires are brought into line to what the Lord's desire and will for our life is. Are you living after your own desires and your own will, or are you living after Christ's desires and His will? A changed life, a full heart, and a new desire and direction in life that are all too powerful to be ignored. The Holy Spirit comes and dwells in you. He gives you a new heart. He changes your desires. Peter knew how his life had been changed, and this was enough to make him state with confidence that he would not walk away. Oh, there came a time of weakness in Peter's life, as I just mentioned a few moments ago. You may walk away for a season. And even Peter, he denied the Lord. A time of weakness in Peter's life. And what did you think it caused in his life? To hang on to Christ even more. That's why many times the Lord permits you to go off the road, to fall by the wayside, so that you would know and learn of your weaknesses and depend on Him even more by faith. Peter, when he failed the Lord, he turned his back on Jesus for a time, but he didn't walk away forever. That's my point. You may fall away for a week or two, or a month or two, or maybe even a year or two, but not decades. Not decades. If you're not walking with the Lord today and you haven't walked with the Lord for decades, you made some kind of mental ascent maybe decades ago, but that will never save you. We have a living faith, my friend, a living faith that is played out day by day in your life. One of the best definitions I have ever heard of what a Christian really is was this: one who cannot walk away. You cannot walk away. If you are a child of God and you walk away, you will be absolutely miserable. You will wish you were never, quote-unquote, a Christian. Because you'll be miserable. Why? Because you'll be grieving the Holy Spirit. And that sweet fellowship will not be there. One who cannot walk away. Once you have felt the powerful touch of Almighty God, once you have walked in the light of His glory, once you have tasted of His goodness and experienced His love, you will never be satisfied with substitutes and imitations. That's why if you're pursuing the things of this world and you are truly a child of God, you will be miserable. The Holy Spirit's job is to conform you into the image of Jesus Christ. And He will not stop. You may wander for a time, but you, like the prodigal son, will come to yourself. You will come to yourself because the Holy Spirit will cause you to come to yourself. You will remember what it was like to fellowship with the Father, to fellowship with the saints of God. And you will come home, even as the prodigal came home. But notice, he had to wind up in the pig pen. He had to despair. And some of us, we've been down that road, the road of despair, the road of walking away. But the Lord will not let you, because the scripture says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. And when you come home, He will receive you with open arms and perfect restoration. I may be speaking to you today, brother, sister. You've walked away. You've become like the prodigal. Everything is a mess. Everything is a mess. You fell into sin. You lost your witness with friends and family. You're absolutely miserable. You're grieving the Holy Spirit. But the good news is, the gospel is, come home. Come to yourself. Come to yourself. For the Lord is waiting with open arms to perfectly restore you. Where sin increased, grace increased all the more. Come home, brother. Come home, sister. This may be hitting you right between the eyes right now. You're saying, yes, yes, preacher, that's me, that's me. Well, come on. Come on, we're ambassadors of reconciliation. Come home. What are we to think of those who do walk away from the truth? What of those who choose the way of the flesh as opposed to the way of faith? What of those who willingly reject the truth in favor of the lie? I think the Bible has the answer. Look at 1 John 2, verse 19. We read this. They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would have continued with us. But they went out, so that for this reason, that they might be made manifest that none of them were of us. If you come home, you were not one of those that I just read in our text, in 1 John 2:19. You may have went out, but you can come home. If you come to yourself, if you're truly a child of God, you will come to yourself. You will heed this call right now to return. And if you do return, and if you, and this is for people that have a tendency to be legalistic and Pharisaical. When a brother or sister has fallen by the wayside and come back, we are to love them and we're to warn them. But when the decision has been made, we are to welcome them back with open arms, or if they refuse to come back, we're to leave them in the hands of Almighty God. God, as I said, he will not be mocked. Look at Titus 3, verse 10. We read this. Knowing that such a person is warped and sinning, being self-condemned. If you hear this message and you return, you will be welcomed with open arms. If you don't heed this message and return, you are in serious trouble. Serious trouble. As I said, the truth sometimes is brutal, but that's the reality of it. I would remind you of the words that Christ said at Judgment Day. Depart from me, for I never knew you. And what did the people do? They started talking about all the things they did for the Lord. They didn't say, well, we believed in you. They start mentioning all their works. But it says, depart from me, you workers of iniquity. Not that you don't fall into iniquity now and then, but it's no longer your life. It's not your lifestyle anymore. You have fallen, you have stumbled, you have tripped, you have fallen into sin. But the gospel says that you can repent and return. Repent and return. We are to take the warnings of Scripture serious. We should examine the lives of our own commitment to the Lord. Look at our own life. Many times we point the fingers at others and we forget, while we're pointing the finger, that three fingers are pointing back to us. The scripture says, and you who are spiritual, take heed. I'll remind you of Galatians 6. Brethren, if a man is overtaken in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit, notice, of gentleness, not browbeating the person. I told you so. Why don't you get your act together? Restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. Brothers and sisters, we're to take that warning seriously. Restore such a one, spirit of gentleness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. Never forget you still walk around in this body of death, or that some people call a sin nature. It's not as powerful as it was before you was had divine the divine nature imparted to you. But it still hangs on. It still raises its head up. You're still tempted. Continuing in Galatians 6, verse 2, bear one another's burdens. Bear one another's burdens. Don't be quick to cast your brother or your sister aside. Bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if anyone thinks himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. You will never be something, brothers and sisters, as a believer, until you realize that you are nothing apart from Christ. It is Christ who causes you to stand. If you haven't fallen, if you haven't fell by the wayside, if you've walked with the Lord for decades, it's because Christ has held you up. We come back now at the end to the question that Jesus asked the disciples in the beginning. He said, will you also go away? Not everyone walks away from Christ. In fact, some people make a total commitment to the Lord and to his will for their lives. And I hope that that is you, my friend, that's listening today. For unfortunately, some people hear the claims of Christ and the demands of the gospel and just walk away. They go off in search of a better deal, of something more agreeable to their flesh. Not everyone walks away. What will you do today? Will you also go away? Or will you continue to look unto Christ, the author and the finisher of our faith? Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Will you also go away?